Well, again, good morning, everybody. What a great day it was yesterday, the yard sale, and we got camp coming up, and we're going to have the water fight and weenie roast next Saturday. Woo, got a lot going on. But for some reason, my voice has just quit, so hopefully I'll get through this all right without it further deteriorating. But this week, we've been doing a lot of things in preparation, so you know, we're all a little bit tired. And so this is a little shortened sermon for you here today to get a little bit back for you, if you will. But it's based upon our continuing study in the book of 1 John. 1 John. Last week we talked a little bit about love in action. Love in action. By the way, I saw a lot of that love in action yesterday in that yard sale. Thank you very much for all what you did there. What a joy it was, though, participating with the community. We concluded last week, though, message with the last verse of chapter 3, where it says, "The one who keeps his commands remains in him, and he in him." And the way we know that he remains in us or abides in us is from the Spirit that he is giving us. So that's what the last verses of last week's message is. Now we're going to continue in that. According, though, to this verse, that we gain assurance of God's presence in our lives by the Spirit that he has given us. The Holy Spirit testifies through our desire to do love in action with the people that we meet along the way, that God, we are truly God's children. So if you have a passion to serve that is growing in you, you can be assured that is the Holy Spirit that is working on your heart. So that's wonderful. But regarding spirits, how do we differentiate between the spirits of truth and the spirits of deception? Because there are a bunch of each. And what really is a spirit anyway? Today we're going to dig a little bit deeper in Spirit, in God's Word, to see what he has to say about this thing called spirits. So please turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Everybody hold up your Bible. Everybody hold up the Bible. 1 John 4, 1 through 6 on page 1084 of the Pew Bibles, which is the inspired and the infallible, living Word of God. But let's start with prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this great day. And Lord, I ask your blessings to be upon my voice here today. It seems like it's starting to go out a little bit. But Lord, you carry me, you sustain me, and Lord, it's through your Spirit, Lord, that that inspires us to continue on despite the adversities. But Lord, we thank you for this day, and we love you. It's in your precious name we pray. Everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. So, talking about spirits, I got a little illustration for you that refers to it. A preacher from the Deep South was finishing a sermon about refraining from intoxicating spirits. If I had all the beer in the world, he said with expression, I would take it and pour it in a river. And if I had all the wine in the world, I would take it and pour it in a river. And if I had all the alcohol, the whiskey in the world, I would take it and pour it in the river. And after saying all this, and he completed his sermon satisfied, he sat down. And at that point, the song leader stood up, and with a sheepish grin, he looked out at the people, and he said, "For our closing hymn today, number 279, shall we gather at the river?" So, yeah, that's a different kind of spirit, but we're going to talk a little bit about spirits today as we're going through this verse in 1 John. So the first verse of 1 John 4 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess that Jesus is from God, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming. Even now, he is already in the world." So we have our own spirits about us. And as Christians, we also have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, or God's Spirit sealed within our hearts. It's a gift from God. And as these verses here state, there's also the spirit of the Antichrist. So how do you tell the difference between one another? They're influencing our behaviors. And when we get this idea, this spirit about us, this message from the Spirit, this design, this direction, how do we know which one to listen to? So let's talk a little bit here, but what is a spirit in itself? What is the difference between a soul and a spirit? Well, the best way to peel away that onion is to see what God's word reveals, not my own word, but God's word reveals about this thing called a spirit. So Isaiah 26:9, it says, "My soul yearns for you at night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness." So here this is separating the difference between a soul and a spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." So there's a difference. There's soul, spirit, and body. And then Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the hearts." So here it's saying that there is a distinct difference, like between the joints and the marrow. There's a distinct difference between a soul and a spirit. And in John 4:23 says, "Yet at a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and truth." So finally, and now we have our verses today. 1 John 4:1. "Dear friends," I'll restate it, "do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out of the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, even now is already in the world." It kind of scares me when I hear that, that the Antichrist is already in the world. Matter of fact, the Bible refers to many different Antichrists through the season. We talked about that a little while ago, and that they're having a negative influence upon our world and can also have upon you. But so again, though, there are three different kinds of spirits mentioned here. Our spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of the Antichrist. But don't get this mixed up, though, with your soul. The soul is a separate thing altogether. It's different. The soul is your individual character that God breathed into you, your personality, your being. Whereas spirits, they are what's called immaterial influencers. The feelings, the attitudes that come from other beings, if you will. Spirits can influence a person and your attitude. When we accept, though, Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit then comes into our hearts and it changes our attitudes, our lives. And we thusly become, he says, a new creation or a born-again person. Born again being that now we have the Holy Spirit, that God's truth in our life, and it should be making a difference. These first set of verses, though, here instructs us that we are to test the spirits to see if they are from God and the Antichrist. So that doesn't mean that you get out your piece of paper and you take them through a multiple choice, whatever. It's not saying that. But do they line up? Do the messages, do that influence, does it line up with God's Holy Spirit, God's Word, and what Jesus told us in his good news gospel or not? The Holy Spirit talks to us all the time. He's also known as the Counselor, Jesus says, that the Holy Spirit is our counselor and that we need to be more sensitive about listening to him. Well, Proverbs 3 says, trust the Lord with all your hearts and lead not into your own what? Understanding. Yeah. Trust the Lord with all your hearts, but lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your paths straight. We have to learn to trust the Holy Spirit that is sealed up inside of us. But we also should be endeavoring to know God's Word or in the Bible so that we can tell if it's a spirit of truth or not. Does it agree with what God's Word says or not? Satan himself, when he was tempting Christ, you know, in the desert, he was using Scripture to deceive Christ, try to get him to go down a path that was prideful, and he refused because God knew the Word. He didn't know it in context, in the words. He knew it in context. He knew what it meant, and he knew how to apply it. And so Jesus, in turn, didn't stick up his fists to fight Satan. Although he could have, but he didn't. He chose to correct Satan in his understanding of what he was trying to present to Jesus Christ there. That's why we at church, though, has also put such a strong emphasis on learning the Bible, applying the Bible, so that you can stand up against Satan when he presents you his evil schemes, just like Jesus. Amen? So when you run, not if, but when you run into a person who sounds religious, you ever get one of those? They sound religious, but if you really get to know them, they're not showing it. It's not coming out in the fruit of their character. They sound good, but they smell bad, Wyatt. They just smell bad. But these kind of people, a lot of times, they try to tell you things that sound biblical, but in some strange way, you know that there's something wrong with it. May I suggest that when you run into those situations, that you pause and you pray and you listen to the Holy Spirit inside you. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as a still small voice. Sometimes we need to back away so we can listen to that still small voice. Because when people are spouting all kinds of things, you can't even sometimes hear. So you need to pause. That pause is awesome. And the Holy Spirit will tell you if something just ain't right. Heed the Holy Spirit's guidance in this. Remember, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say, Satan knew the Lord. Satan knows his words. And he ain't going to heaven. We know the end of the story. He's going to go to the lake of fire and the final judgment. And so are all his demons. But merely saying things that sound religious or maybe even biblical doesn't mean that they are not twisting things around for the benefit of themselves and for Satan. So be cautious. If you feel uncomfortable in the direction the conversation is going, again, back off. You don't have to stand there and listen to them. You are not a captor. You are not their slaves. You are not a prisoner. You have the choice to turn and go. God gave you 2 feet. Use them. But then, if you are so inclined and you want to speak into their lives, if you want to deliberate with them, if you're prepared and you want to, when I went to Israel, those guys love to debate Scripture. And boy, I tell you what, those Jews knew the New Testament as well as they knew the Old Testament. And I felt like I was sparring. I was sparring with them. And I tell you, in America, where we have a somewhat of a Christian nation, that people we have probably 300 million Bibles in America sitting on some shelf someplace. Those Jews knew the Bible more than most Christians I know. And so it was a worthy fight. You ever go up against somebody, tattoo, you can probably say, go up somebody, right? And it's not even worthy of your effort. You like breathe on them and they might fall down. You know, or like if you're intellectual fight, it's the same thing. These people were not are prepared to have that debate. Are you prepared to have that debate? Do you know God's word good enough that you can tell the difference between right and wrong? Do you know when someone is feeding you a line of BS? Do you know God's word so that you can apply it to your circumstance and have confidence in what you're saying. So that's what God wants you to do. And that's why he wants us, implores us to get to know his word. We are in this battle too together. So if you run across something that you're not familiar with, or if you run across something that you never heard of before, or it's contrary to the meaning behind the words that you thought were there, that you were taught here, call me. Most all of you will know, I will answer that phone. I'm a really good communicator. Or text me or whatever, and I'll help walk you through it. Now, I don't have all the answers, but I'm working toward it. You know, I'm working toward that aim. I want to help you in this fight to tell the difference between someone who's evil or deceiving and someone who is true. Our next verses here start at verse 4. John wrote, "You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them," I'll put in there, "evil spirits, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception." The title of this message is about truth and deception. John, in these verses here, is referring to Satan when he says, "the one who is in the world." Satan is also known as the father of deceptions, and his whole purpose in life and death is really to try to trip you up. He feeds you whatever temptation and lies that is subjected to you, your weaknesses, so that he will get you to the point where that you don't no longer want to heed God's word, that you don't want to set aside time, that you don't want to read God's word, that you don't want to pray. You want to live in that weakness, that temptation that he presents. Satan wants you to go against and ignore God's will and God's commandments. So let's talk a little bit about who Satan or the devil is in regards to his position in this world that we live in today. Jesus referred to the devil as the ruler of this world. And that's kind of confusing when you think about it. The ruler of this world. That's John 12. And then Paul calls him the prince of the power of the air. Whew, that's Ephesians 2. And then he says the little g, God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4. John makes a further distinction when he says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world is in the power of the evil one." 1 John 5:19 that we're getting ready to study in a couple weeks. It sounds pretty bleak, really, if you think about it. These references leave us with the question, well, in what sense does Satan rule this world then? Rule this world? Well, the world that he's speaking of here in this context, I'll give you a little comfort, is not the physical earthen world that we live on. So that's a little different perspective. But instead, it's the worldly or non-Christian influences on the world. His gang of plebes, his army of evil. This world includes Satan and his falling angels or demons, and there's multitudes of them. And the evil non-Christian people too, who are including the Antichrist that we read about today, has their effect upon us and our world influences. Satan is the commanding general of this little g god of all the evil and disastrous that forces of the world. So when it's referring to a world, again, it's not referring to our earthen world. It's more referring to the influences of the world. So with that understanding, let's read again that verse, though, starting at verse 4. It says, "You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them," evil people, the world, "because the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception." So I hope that gives you a different perspective on those verses. I know it did me. So again, let me restate that the Bible frequently uses the terms the world or this world to refer to the present evil worldly system in opposition with God. And the test that we have according to verses 6 now here of whether or not they are Christian or not is if they listen to the apostles' teachings or not. If they don't listen to or follow and heed the apostles' teaching or in effect the New Testament, if they don't heed the New Testament, then they are truly not Christian spirits and we should not listen to them. Well, I know people today, matter of fact, in Rock Island, a friend of mine, he says he only follows and believes the words of Jesus, the red letters in the Bible. Oh, so sad. They don't ascribe to the teachings of Peter and Paul. Oh, my goodness. They're leaving out a half of the New Testament. Or the apostles. Well, according to these verses here today, then they would not pass that test. They have been duped or fooled by the world and Satan. And thusly, they are not true Christians that we should count on in that respect. They're not a true brother. They believe in Jesus, but not as the Jesus that's totally described through the New Testament apostles. I mean, we believe that God gave the apostles those words to write down back then. So these are really God-breathed words that we endeavor to understand. And in that respect, if you're so inclined, put your arms around them and consider showing them the truth of what we just read here today and others. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." All Scripture. That is also why we today recite each weird work of our Bible, referring to the Bible as being inspired, infallible, and living. And I hope that you believe that. And I hope that you choose to align yourself with all of Scripture, as was proposed here. We live by faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is true. And this Bible, though, of ours is truly God-breathed and worthy of our attention as well. When you know God's Word and when you hide it in your heart and when you listen to the Holy Spirit inside you, then you will truly be ready to go up against these foes and you will be blessed. Again, let me recap the whole teaching of this message here today. If people you meet along your path, they sound religious, they may act religious, but the Holy Spirit inside you is shouting at you something that in their character is just wrong, then it says to test them. Ask them these questions, perhaps. According to these last verses we read, do they believe that God has come in the flesh as Jesus Christ? That's number one question. Because a lot of people believe Jesus Christ, but they don't believe that he's God in the flesh. And two, do they believe all of the New Testament and the apostles' teachings or some of it? If they answer yes, and the Holy Spirit is inside you, affirms it as honest and true, then consider them brothers and sisters in the faith. However, if they answer no, or the Holy Spirit inside you gives you caution, then pray for them. And if given the opportunity, tell them about Jesus and his good news gospel. Tell them that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and he rose from the grave. Then he ascended into heaven. He said, if you repent or turn from your sin and believe with your heart that he is Lord, then they can be saved too for all eternity. That is the good news gospel. If they ask how they can get into heaven, tell them all they have to do is pray something like what is called the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer. I thought it would be good for us to practice this together, if you will. I'm going to pull it up on the screen here. This is what's called one of the versions of the sinner's prayer that I kind of liked. And this is what you could advise somebody. And I went ahead and made some printouts for you if you care to have them after the service is over. But this is what it says. And you can read it with me or you can just listen. It says, "Dear God, I know that I am a sinner and I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I believe that Jesus' death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. Today, I trust in Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, amen. Now, along with that sinner's prayer, I also include in that what's called the Romans Road of Salvation. What this is, it's a set of six verses that take someone through the process where it shows in Scripture how to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So if you're interested, take one of these, then I invite you to do so. I want to leave you with this, though. God loves you. He loves you. And He's equipped you with His Spirit. And He's given you His personal Word. He's communicating with you through prayer. And He wants you to live this life in keeping with His way and His will. But test the spirits as you go. But show God's love to everybody you meet. I want to leave you with this little background story on that joke I told you a little bit about. The song, "Shall We Gather at the River?" You probably all know that, don't you? You might be interested in knowing it was actually written by a guy named Dr. Robert Lowry in 1864. What's really funny about that is that New Hope over there, we have Henry Lowry. You know him, Roger, Jeremiah. You guys know him. Henry Lowry is also named Robert Lowry. So I called him up last night and I said, "Hey, you got any kin folks?" He didn't know about this, but he wrote that song, "Shall We Gather at the River?" He was a pastor one day and he was seated in his parlor. This is a write-up about the story in Brooklyn, New York. It was a time when an epidemic was sweeping through the city and many of his church family was mourning. The question began to rise in his heart with unusual emphasis. Shall we meet again? Seating myself at the organ, says he, simply to give vent to the pent-up emotions of his heart, the words and music of the hymn began to flow out as if by inspiration. Shall we gather at the river where the bright angel feet had trod? So as we close today, I thought it would be fun to sing this song together in unison. And as we sing this, think about the words that we're saying. Think about the message that we hear today. Think about the sinner's prayer as you received them. And if you're so inclined and would like to come forward and have me pray for you, or if you'd like to join the church or get baptized, this is a great time to do it today. Would you please rise? Just one verse. And we're going to sing. It's up on the screen there today. Would you sing it with me? So in that regard, Bridget, I'm so proud that you decided to come forward
and we would love to have you part of this church. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we ask that you continue to watch after us here at this church and just bless us, Lord, because we have work, your work to do. And watch after us, Lord, and I ask you to watch after Bridget and the family. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for her stewardship and her willingness to stand up and represent you, Lord, in this world. And Lord, I ask you to watch after us as church as we mentor her and to help raise the children in a way that's in keeping with your word and your will. Father God, we love you and we thank you. In your precious name we pray. Anybody says?
Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Round of applause for this day. How nice to see you. Go ahead and have a great day.
God bless you. I pray for Pastor Jerry's throat.
Yeah, that cookie?
Oh, you got it right there. Here you go, Wyatt.